time has caused some to not be here. So it's cool in here, though. Isn't it nice? It's cool in here. This is a good place to be. If you don't have air conditioning at home, this is a good place to be. Amen. Good place to be. All right. I do, too. Is that what it is? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is where we're taking our text tonight. This is a set of scripture that we recognize as the great apostasy or the great fallen away. And I hope in tonight's study that we bring to light some things that are important that we recognize. Yes, great fallen away. I just said that great apostasy is the great fallen away. Let's just read in the scripture and we'll kind of exhort as we go. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had already come. Let no one deceive you by any means. I'll just stop there for a moment. And again, just kind of reiterate for us to understand that we shouldn't be so worried or concerned about what the world does. We're here, but we're not a part of the world. How many understand that? We're in the world, but we're not a part of the world. We have a new nature. How many realize that we are considered as pilgrims? We're just going through. We're not planning to spend eternity here in this light. You understand? We're going to come back, and we will spend eternity here when we come back, and there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. But we're not gonna be here through some of the things that we don't need to worry about some of it. And even if, let me just say this real quick I've thought about this an awful lot. If the judgment of God falls on our country and falls on us, we still serve a great God. Amen. And I'll be honest with you, if the judgment of God must fall on us in order to reach the lost, I say fall on us. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. Amen. I mean, how really concerned are we about the lost? So if whatever happens promotes God bringing judgment, I'm ready. His grace is still what? Sufficient. It's still sufficient. It's still more than enough. Amen? So we don't get all that concerned. We're not going to be, you know, in fact, Matthew chapter 6 says, just don't take any thought about it. Take no thought about tomorrow. We're not going to be worried about what's happening here. And please, everybody say, stay focused. We don't get distracted. We're not groping. So we're not distracted by this amount of news or that amount of news. And that this news all of a sudden, oh no, how am I going to serve God? How am I going to live for God? We're not distracted by that. Amen? Because we are of a new nature. Amen. We are citizens of heaven. How many realize that? We have a better home already prepared for us. So he goes on to say, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the fallen away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, which is what? The son of perdition. Well, it's actually not Satan. It's the Antichrist. The Antichrist, who opposes and exalts himself, notice that, he opposes and he exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. How many are recognizing the verbiage here? God is not exalting him, amen? He's being seen, however, by those that see his exaltation as though he's God, but he's not. You know, my wife and I were talking about everything that God has. How many realizes the most the enemy can do is camouflage or imitate? At the very most, he is, in comparison to God, he's powerless. So he's a liar and what? The father of lies. There is within him no truth All he does is lie. And all he does is try to appear to be what he is not. He appears to be an angel of light, but how many realize he's of darkness? His kingdom is that of darkness. All right. There we go. Verse 5. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, Paul's telling the church of Thessalonica, I told you about these things, and now you know what is restraining that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness, everybody say lawlessness, is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And what we're talking about is God has taken Christ out of the way. God has taken himself out of the way so that the world can, we shouldn't be surprised by the lawlessness of the world. Are you understanding that? How many realize that what was considered good is now being turned to evil, and what was considered evil is now becoming good? You understand there's a change in people's attitude concerning right and wrong. You are now beginning to see even where children are turning against their parents and parents turning against their children. Are you understanding? And you're starting to see things that are going wrong in the world, and we shouldn't be surprised by this. People are unrestrained. How many see that? Unbridled passions. Now, we're not talking about just things that are intimate things. We're talking about unbridled passions toward anything. There are no rules. There are no guidelines. The world continues to go deeper and deeper, and to the point, how many have wondered, how deep can the world go? How far can the depravity of humanity go? How far will they continue? It goes on. And that's what he's talking about. The lawlessness is already at work. And then he goes on. And then the lawless one will be revealed. Again, he's reiterating the Antichrist. The lawless one whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. It's powerful, isn't it? You have to go to the far end of Revelation and see when he returns and what he will do when that happens. Now, I want you to catch this. The coming of the lawless one is according to what? The workings of Satan, and with his power, signs and lying wonders. Everything that you're reading right now is not talking about the church. I want you guys to catch that. Everything that we're seeing right here is not talking about the church. It's talking about the lawlessness that is in the world. Not the lawlessness that's in the church. It's not talking about the body of Christ. It's talking about the lawless one that is being, and even going a little farther, when the Antichrist, how many realize the spirit of the Antichrist is already here? The spirit of the Antichrist, that which is against Christ. How many know there's a spirit that's against Christ? How many realize that secular humanism? And you can go, we can really take and begin to look how the school systems and the governments, how many realize that we are slowly but surely trying to eliminate the Christ? Let's push the Christ all the way out. And you understand, I'm using the term very clear, pushing the anointed one, the Messiah, the Christ, the only one that can remove sin. How many see that we're trying, the world is trying, not we as a church, but the world is trying to eliminate the Christ, to introduce the Antichrist. Amen. Now listen, just so that we know, John made a very bold statement in his writings. He said, whoever that denies that Jesus is the Christ, now that is the only way. That's what that means, that he is the only way. Whoever denies that there is, all roads lead to heaven. That anybody that makes that assessment, you know, it doesn't really matter who you worship, as long as you worship someone, as long as you put your faith in something. You can have any kind of faith you want, as long as you have a faith. It doesn't have to be the faith. You have to have, if you have a faith, and if you're morally right, and if you're morally sound, and you know, just put your faith. Are you guys catching me? You guys understand that many of our celebrities that are very well known are propagating this false understanding, the false teaching that says really and truly it's not really all that important that you believe in any one certain path. All you need to do is believe in a path. There's a way that seems right unto men, but the end thereof is what? Destruction. You cannot believe that there are all these paths and that all these paths are going to lead you to God. That's not so. There is one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except by me. If they try, they only come as a thief and a robber. You guys with me tonight? How many realize this is important stuff? Amen. You say, why do we keep talking? Because this is the message. This is what we as a church must be speaking. Amen. So the lawlessness that it's talking about is talking about the world's lawlessness. All right, let's go to the next passage. Verse 10. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. Now, how clear is that right there? Are you guys getting that? So now we're very clear as to, remember I told you, when you begin to study the Word of God, you must know who is doing the speaking and to whom it's being spoken for. So otherwise, you don't want to go, I'm receiving that word. I'm one of the lawless ones. I'm not one of the lawless ones. I'm not one of the perishing ones. Amen. For God so loved the world that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Come on. The Bible said that we can know we have passed from death, perish, unto life. Are you guys with me? We can know that. Amen. We're not living in that place of being perished. So he's speaking very clearly now. He calls them unrighteous and deception among those who perish because they did not what? They did not receive the truth. John 8:32 says, and we shall know the truth, and the truth shall set us free. Who is the truth? Jesus Christ. They did not receive the love of Christ. They did not receive it. How many realize salvation's a gift? But they did not receive it. They rejected the gift of God. They rejected the love of Christ. They rejected it. For God so loved. The Bible said he came unto his own, and his own did not receive him. So for all of us who have received him, to us he gave power to become the sons and daughters of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. 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 So look, he goes on to say that they what? Might be saved. They could have been saved if they would have received, but they did not receive, so they are not saved. See, now there is a teaching going around now that says, well, the truth of the matter is everybody's going to make it. Everyone's going to make it. It doesn't matter whether you receive or don't receive. It doesn't have anything to do with it. Since he paid the price for all humanity is going to make it. That's not true. Because you've got to receive this. We're going to get into it a little bit deeper. But you've got to receive the gift of God. All right. Look, he says, for this reason, God will send a strong delusion, blinders, if you will. This is the same understanding that God allowed Pharaoh to operate in. Yes. What was it? Never heard of it. Well, Jesus said that it would be an everlasting torment. Yeah. Now, everlasting means forever. Yeah. That's what it talks about, an everlasting torment. Now, you know, I don't know how to get my mind around all of that. I'm not saying I understand, you know, what it means to, the Bible talks about the lake of fire, and that's where there's going to be gnashing of teeth and wailing, and I don't quite understand. I think that as much as the temperature may cause the torment, I think living without God, when you finally know that what you thought was wrong, and you are now without the Creator and without the God that we have, I think that in itself is the greatest torment. Daniel, I saw your hand. Absolutely. Agonizing. The flesh of God separated from the Spirit of God. Yes, agonizing. Absolutely agonizing. So you guys understand the strong delusion here. How many realize in Romans chapter 1, God said that he turned them over to a reprobate so they could continue their lifestyle of sin? And I've said to you guys, and I think it's really important that we revisit this for an understanding purpose. We were all reprobates. Reprobate means one that is without God, for the best understanding, one without God. Before I was a believer, of course, I was just a kid, but I still understood what sin was. I understood what self was. And, you know, when you desire to just please you, and you live that life, and you feel like there's not any accountability to God, And so in order to practice that, you've got to deny there's a God. You guys understand? I mean, you say, you know, and I know there are many people, oh, I love God. The Bible said this is how you're going to know that they love the Lord, because they keep my commandments. My commandments is love God and love people, right? And so, you know, I mean, come on, we know then, you know, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you refuse to do the things that I say? Come on, the byproduct of what he's done by making us who we are then also provokes, doesn't it, a new way of living, a new way of thinking. Amen? You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Hasn't your thoughts changed since you came into a relationship with God? Haven't you begun to witness the handiwork of God in your life? Amen? All right, so the strong delusion should not be a surprise to us. Many people say, well, that doesn't make sense, and that makes it impossible for people to receive God. No, it doesn't at all. Anybody at any time, as the Holy Spirit deals with them, can turn toward God. Everybody say repentance. They can still turn from to turn to. How many live in repentance? You live there. We're living in repentance. In other words, we're always turning from in order to be always turned toward. Amen? Where is your affection? Now it's toward God. You've changed your direction. That is, you've changed your mind. That is true repentance. All right. That they should believe the lie. The fact that now they're believing in the Antichrist, but they're believing that Jesus is not the Christ. I don't need to worship this God. That they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but they took pleasure in unrighteousness. How many could think of a few people right now that take pleasure in that? Could you? Can you think of a few people that are living their life at full speed, not caring one thing about how ungodly they are? And you can see it, can't you? You can look. I mean, we're not judging. We're not doing that. I'm just saying you can clearly see it that people are going that direction. They're positioned that direction. Amen? All right. Verse 13. I love this. Everybody say, stand fast. Yes. Now notice this. But we, now we're speaking now to the church. He was writing to us about those who were in a lawless condition. But now he's going to bring us into the understanding of the writing. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation. Praise God. God chose us to be saved. God chose us to be born again through sanctification. I love that. By the Spirit. Amen. God, he chose us to be saved, and then he chose us to be a work of God to be set apart. Amen. All about him. How many see that? It was all about him. It's all about what he's done. It's all about what he does. And then I like this, and belief in the truth. I have got my faith in him. Do you have your faith in him tonight? How many have taken your eyes off of self and put your eyes on God? How many realize you cannot do it, you cannot be it without him? Come on, if you take Christ out of the equation, we are all of us miserably and hopelessly lost. Amen. Paul said, with him I can do all things, but without him I can do nothing. John 15, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Amen. Remember what your righteousness is to God without Christ. It is filthy, dirty rags. Has a stench to God. God is not pleased with yours or my performance. Amen? Amen? All right. In which he called you by our gospel, the good news, for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by epistle. I've got a video I want you guys to watch, and it's right now. I actually introduced it to Bo. He got to hear it. This is the video of this particular song that I really, really like, and I want you guys to watch the video. Letter.
There's got to be more than going back and forth from doing right to doing wrong, because we were taught that's who we are. Stage when we're on the edge of our seat, saying it's too late. Well, let me introduce you to amazing grace. No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth.
Still the truth is a cross as we lay, the cross as we lay.
Amen. Is that amazing or what? Don't you like that? I hope that'll become your favorite, your absolute favorite song. It's one of my favorites. Man, I listen to that song all the time. Flawless. Everybody say flawless.
Flawless.
Don't you love that? Have you ever thought of yourself being flawless? The Bible says that we are without blemish and without spot. How many knows I can't get there on my own? I can't get there on my own. Look at Isaiah 61 and 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Can somebody just say praise the Lord?
Yeah.
Amen. He hath clothed me. He did this. I didn't do it on my own. He did it. Look at Revelation 19 and 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife, the wife is referencing the church, hath made herself ready. Why? She allowed herself to be clothed by God. She allowed herself to be clothed by God. All right, I want to talk to you for a little bit about the prodigal. And I know we spent a lot of time talking, but the prodigal is a perfect picture of who we were. It will always stand recorded in history. How many realize it's lined up with what we would be considered the three lost items? It's in Luke's writings, and it is three specific things that were lost: a lost coin, a lost sheep, and a lost son. Three specific things that were lost. And the whole message of that was, is they were found. Praise the Lord. Amen. Is anybody happy about being found? All right, so let's take just a few moments and just kind of look at this. I don't know how much time we'll spend, but where was he, the prodigal, when he realized where he was? He was in the pig pen. He didn't realize where he was until he realized where he was. He had taken the inheritance that he got. What an insult to the father, right? How many have abused the blessings that God has given them, abused them? He took what was his inheritance even before his father had died, and took, and the Bible said, he lived to himself on riotous living. He wasted his life and wasted the substance on himself. What a sad thing. Why do you think I tell you so often that we don't want to be selfish? We want to be selfless. How many deal with selfishness in yourself? Be honest. I find that it's ugly. I don't like that behavior, that attitude that I still deal with. Amen. I want more of God and more of him in me, so that less of that exists. Amen. I want God to purge all of that out. Does anybody want to stand with me on that? I want all of it out of me. I don't want any selfishness to be there. So you guys are so right. He recognized it when he was with the pigs. Filthy, smelling like the environment he came out from. Right? I want you guys to get a picture here of what's going on here, because I have glazed over it somewhat. I've glazed over this a little bit. I don't want to glaze over it tonight. Where was the father? Waiting for his son. How many believe that God is still waiting for the unchurched, the unsaved, the ungodly, the unrighteous? Come on. How many soul winners do we have in the house? People that are willing to tell somebody there's good news in Jesus Christ. Amen. God's still a Savior. Amen. God's still a Savior. He was always looking for his son to return. He was always. What did his father do when he saw him? He ran to him. He embraced him. He kissed him. He was weeping. He was worshiping because his son was home. The Bible says that when one sinner repents, heaven rejoices. I love that, don't you? Don't you love that? That every time somebody gives their life to Christ, now in that song, I don't know if you guys caught it. I wanted you guys to catch all of it. But it said every time they call on the name of Jesus, God made them flawless. Hallelujah. So every time God makes another person flawless, at that moment, heaven, whatever they're doing, rejoices over that sinner that just repents. Praise God. So he absolutely, as soon as he saw him, he began to rejoice. What did his son say to his father? I've sinned. How many see that's a picture of what we do, isn't it? How many had to do that? We all did, right? Did we not all have to come to God and come clean? Lord, I'm a sinner. I have sinned against you. I have wronged you. Come on, didn't we do that? The Bible says that if we confess our sin, he's what? Faithful and just to forgive us. Listen, I had to tell God, Lord, I sinned. I'm a sinner. Confession, amen. Come on, you got to recognize who we've been, right? And without Christ, who we are. Amen. So immediately he said, I don't even deserve. How many has the enemy lied to you and tell you don't deserve to go to heaven? How many has he lied to you and say, you don't deserve a good destiny? Come on, you don't deserve the provision of God. You don't deserve the blessings of the Lord. You don't deserve the restoration of Christ. You don't deserve. You have failed so miserably. God said, you're flawless. Come on, is anybody happy besides me tonight? You are flawless. Look at your neighbor and say, you're flawless. 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 Have you ever thought of yourself, Donald, as being flawless? Flawless. Flawless. Come on, church, we got to get the message. God said we're flawless. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's look at the next one. Whoops, I don't want to pass that up. Here we go. What does the father do next? Well, yes, but what did he do immediately after his son confessed? Now, I want you guys to remember, we've already gone through it, but let's recap for just a moment. He smelled like his environment. Well, let me tell you how he cleaned them. He clothed them. He clothed them in a robe of righteousness. I love that. Don't you guys love that? See, in my the reason I said I glazed over this, because in my thinking, real quick, I somehow saw a shower in the prodigal's traveling from the pig pen to the father. Now, the scripture doesn't tell us that. But in my way of thinking, I want to believe the boy showered. You see, I want you guys to get this. I want to believe he somehow tried to clean himself up. Somehow he wanted to get himself looking better to come back to death. But the problem was he had nothing. He had wasted everything. When he got there, he just was desperate to get home. He absolutely did not expect the reception that he got, but all he wanted to do is just get home. How many believe that there's a lot of people that need to get home? There's a lot of people that need to get home. There's a lot of people that need to come back to where they have left. They need to come back to a relationship that they once had with God. They need to return home. And I gotta believe that, you know, when you've smelled a certain way for so long, you've gotten used to it. When you've smelled like the environment that you've been a part of, come on, you know what I'm talking about. You don't think anybody else smells anything because you don't smell it anymore. You know, we just get used to the. We just get used to it. Am I talking to anybody now? You just get, it gets so common for you. You know, I used to work at Montgomery Ward's, and then I went over to Grand Auto and I sold tires. And when I walk into a tire store, I still like the smell of the tires because I spent many years in that industry, and I like the odor of it. People walk in and say, it stinks in here, but I was used to it. Are you guys with me? It doesn't bother me at all because I was used to the odor. You know, the problem with sin is you'll get used to it. Becomes commonplace. You understand what I'm saying? You don't think anything about it. My mother, after she gave her life to the Lord, and a few years took place after she was a Christian, and she finally gave up smoking cigarettes. And you know, my mom had told me, first of all, she said she'd never be a Christian. Then secondly, I'm never going to quit smoking. And I told my mom, I said, Mom, listen, if you're, you know, I understand that you have the habit of smoking, and you can't smoke in my car. She'd understand that. But I didn't want her to smoke in my car because there's an odor. You guys understand. I'm not picking on anybody. You understand. There's an odor. If you don't smoke cigarettes and then somebody smokes, there's an odor to it. I'm not picking on anybody. I'm not casting stones. I'm not judging anybody. In fact, I love my mom. And I'd go to her house. And I'd say, Mom, would you mind if while I'm here for the time that I'm here not to smoke? It's my house. I know that. But when I leave here, I'm going to smell like the environment that I... Are you guys getting this? I'm going to smell just like the environment. And although I don't smoke, people will assume that I smoke, that I've got a secret habit. You guys are getting this, right? And I didn't want that. And I'd ask her. So my mom quit smoking. And then she asked me, she says, could you help me clean and paint? And I said, of course, Mom, I will. And we begin to start cleaning the walls of her house. And you know what happened? My mom got sensitive to the smell. She said, oh, honey, this place stinks. It stinks. I said, yeah, Mom, it does. She says, well, it didn't smell like that before, did it? I said, only the whole time I've lived in my life and you've been a smoker, it always smelled. She says, well, how could you stand it? I said, I loved you more than I love the smell. Are you guys with me? And so we begin to clean, we begin to paint until the odor wasn't there. Are you guys getting this? But when the father saw his son, he may have smelled like pigs, and the sin that was in his life was a stench to the father. But you won't find the father saying, let's get him into a bath. No, I'm going to put a robe on him. And the robe that I put will provide all that he needs to be clean. You guys just got to see that. You just got to receive that. Amen. How many have received the robe of righteousness? How many have received the work of God on your life that made you what you were not? Amen. How many have became? Come on, go ahead and tell your neighbor, I'm righteous. I'm righteous. He made me this way. Amen. He made me righteous. He made me flawless. Amen. I love this. Galatians chapter 6. Paul is speaking, and you know, I just really believe that you remember, if you could just go back a little bit, because everybody has a past like Paul. Paul changed his name. It used to be Saul. Saul was a tormentor of the church, a murderer of evangelists. He was a preacher killer. He was evil. Saul was an evil man. But I love this. God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but don't you just get tired of believers boasting in all the things that they've done and all the things that they are because of who they are and what they've done and how many titles they carry? And come on, just wave at me. Come on, you know, I got to tell you, if I'm going to boast, I must boast like the Apostle Paul. Because I cannot boast in my own abilities, and I dare not boast in who I am or what I do. I boast in this and this alone. God forbid that I should glory in anything save the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because the cross made me flawless. Come on. It was the cross. It was the cross. See, it was no ordinary crucifixion. They had crucified many before and many after. It was no ordinary death. Because when his blood began to drip from his body, and when it dripped from the cross, how many realize that to the enemy and to those who crucified him, that cross was a symbol of destruction. That cross was a symbol of murder. That cross was a symbol of judgment, and that it was. But to them, they thought, I've killed the Christ. But to you and I, the cross holds a different meaning. Come on, how many are grateful for Calvary's cross? Come on, is anybody grateful for Calvary tonight? Where would you be without Calvary? Where would you be? Yes. It was his signet, yes. Yes, it gave him position. Only those who were in the Father had that authority. Amen. Only us who are in Christ Jesus have that authority. Come on, you know when the enemy tries to bring up all the junk? When the enemy tries to bring up all your past? When the enemy tries to bring up all your mistakes, just tell him. Just tell him. Listen, I'm flawless. I'm flawless because the cross made the difference. Amen? I couldn't have got here on my own. Oh, I know I look different than I used to look. Oh, I know I talk different, but I didn't get here on my own. The cross made the difference. Amen. The cross made the difference. I love this. Amen. He said, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. Let me show you this one here. I love this. The foolishness of the cross. Paul was writing now to the church of Corinth in chapter 1 and verse 18. He said, to those who perish. Remember I used that word earlier in our text to the church of Thessalonica? To those who perish. How many realize that right now there's a push to take down everything that represents Christianity? Everything. There's a push. How many see it? There's a push. You know, I've shared the story with you. Some of you may not have heard this, but when Daniel was in high school at Mesa Verde in Citrus Heights, he was wearing a Christian t-shirt, and they approached him and told him that he was going to have to not wear a Christian shirt. It was offensive. And Daniel, being Daniel, wasn't willing just to roll over on that. And he said, what about all the other shirts that the people are wearing? There are shirts out there that have vulgarity on it and all sorts of other things. And you don't have a problem with that, but you have a problem with the fact that I'm wearing a shirt that happens to say Jesus loves you or God forgives you or, you know, those things are offensive, but you have no problem with the rest that's out there? And they said, well, we're not worried about those, but we are worried about your shirt. And he said, well, I'll tell you what, I'm not removing my shirt until they stop wearing their shirts. When you get them to stop wearing theirs, then I'll actually stop wearing mine. But until you deal with them, you're not going to deal. See, the world is trying. How many realize that? Trying to remove everything. You know, right now, if you go to a courthouse and you are testifying, used to be I solemnly swear upon the word, they put their hand upon the Bible to tell the truth, the whole truth, so help me God. They no longer say, so help me God. They say, so help me. They stop. Why? Because they are doing their very, very best. Nothing will stop the church. Nothing will stop the church. Do I have anybody here that's just not going to let them quiet us down? We're the church. Do I have anybody in the house that's willing to stand up and proclaim that Jesus Christ is the Lord and we are not going to go quietly? Amen. The world wants to stop it. So to them that are perishing, the cross is a symbol of foolishness. It makes no sense. How many realize there's a delusion over them? But to us, everybody said to us, who are being saved, it is the power of God. The Apostle Paul wrote that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. See, I still believe it's sufficient. How many believe it's sufficient? I still believe in the message. Don't you believe in it? Yes. Do you know that there is now a push? It's a push now. There are assemblies. I'm not talking about the assembly of God. Do not misunderstand me. There are gatherings. The reason I'm not calling them the church, because they're not the church. There are peoples that are coming together that are now saying, we don't want to hear messages anymore about the cross. We don't want to talk about the Savior dying. In fact, you ought to take a moment and pull up the Universalist Church in Chico and read what they call their statement. You ought to read it. It'll blow your mind. They will tell you in the history of their movement, they used to worship God, but no longer. They actually say that in their statement. They no longer worship. I'm reminded when I believe it was Paul who went to Mars Hill, and there was a group that were worshiping, and there was an inscription that said, to the unknown God. How many know I know the God who I worship? I know him. His name is Jesus. Glory to God. I know in whom I believe, and I'm still persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I still believe. Do I have any believers in the house? I still believe. I still believe in a hill called Golgotha. I still believe in an old rugged cross. I still believe in a man called Jesus. I still believe. So here it is. If you want to hear about the message of Jesus Christ, you're in the wrong place. If you don't want me to talk about amazing grace, I love that. Didn't you love that in the song? After he said amazing grace, he said grace, grace, God's grace. I don't know about you. I'm so glad I live in the favor of God. How many know you don't deserve it? Amen. How many know you don't deserve it? Amen. Not a one of us. How many realize that in and of ourselves, there's not one good thing about us except for Christ? That's grace. God's favor, God's placement. He that knew no sin became sin so that you and I could be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Give him a hand clap of praise. Stand with me tonight. Amen. Amen. I hope that song becomes one of your favorites. How many want to make that your favorite song? Man, I love that song. I listen to that song. I've plugged that I play it all the time. Bo and I had to go to the dump when we were working on the dump. We had to go to the garbage, solid waste. What's the name?
The
Anyway, we had to go take some of the shrubs that was here to the solid waste downtown, and I'd asked Bo if he had heard that song yet, and Bo said, no, I don't think I've heard it yet. So he got on his phone, on his smartphone, and he looked it up real quick while he was driving. Yeah. Kind of scared me a little bit. And he played it through, and I told him, I said, man, just listen to it. So he turns the volume really loud, and he listened to the song. And didn't you like the video with it? Yeah. Wasn't that cool? Don't you just feel that's the work of God? Amen. How many know that it's impossible for your slate to be wiped clean if it wasn't for Jesus Christ? Father, thank you so much. Thank you, God, for loving us. Thank you, God, for saving us. Thank you, God, for making us flawless. Thank you for taking all of our sin, every sin, and nailing it to the cross. Thank you, Jesus. Every sin, every deed, every evil, all the wickedness, all of the unrighteousness, all of the ungodliness, and nailing it to Calvary's cross. And Jesus Christ, my substitute, took your judgment on him so that you wouldn't judge me. Thank you, Lord. I am free of condemnation. I am free of judgment. Glory to God. I've been set free because of the Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for that, God. Thank you for letting this message be real. We have to receive it and understand it so that we can begin to experience that awareness of who we are. We are flawless because of the cross of Calvary. Thank you for that, Lord Jesus. Bless every single individual here in your name. Amen. God bless you. Amen.